Welcome to Let's Talk About It, co-hosted by Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXRadio.com.
Good morning and welcome to Let's Talk About It, your voice for wellness here in Imperial County. Phone number is 337-8874. Show is available on podcast at KXRadio.com. I'm your host, Scott, and this is Recovery. September's Recovery Month, so we're going to recover a show here. And it's a good topic, and we got a good guest, so stay tuned. And let us know in the comments. Give us your opinions, give us questions, whatever you got for us that you know, add a little flavor to what we're trying to do. And interesting stuff, compelling radio, typically. And anytime we do recovery shows, just to kind of, my bias, I guess, is the times when it gets real, because we're talking about real people who have real lives in our real community and can give us a sense of not only their tremendous energy and inspiration and courage that it takes them to kind of, you know, make the decisions they have to make for themselves, but also gives us a sense of what people have to get through sometimes to become who they're going to be, and makes for some good stuff. So stay tuned. We're going to jump right on into this. I'm Scott. Maria's in the basement, charging the batteries. She'll be back next week. 337-8874 is the phone number. Let's talk about it. It's the show. My guest today is Nathan. Nathan, where do you go to school, man? What city?
Desert Oasis.
Okay, good enough, man. Welcome aboard. How old are you?
18.
18. Ooh, all right. Legal. Good. We're here to talk today about, you are in substance abuse treatment, right?
Yeah.
Well, how'd you get there?
How'd I get there?
Yeah.
I just signed up for it.
Okay. That's cool.
They gave us the option right there at school.
Was it something that, when you signed up for it, was it something that, this is what I need to get my life together, or was it like, oh, look, it's better than watching the paint dry in community school.
A little bit of both of them.
Oh, okay. So part of you actually thought that this might be something that might help you.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about that. Why do you think you might need help?
Because everybody needs help. In their own little way.
Ooh. 100-point answer to that one. Let's go to the bonus round. So, you're in Desert Oasis, you got this class coming up, and it's they say it's like, what do they call it, like substance groups, or?
Drugs and alcohol.
Okay, so it's an alcohol and drug group.
Yeah.
So, you must have at least had some experience with alcohol and drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How was that for you?
It was good.
Did you start young?
Yeah.
Younger, I guess, because you're only 18, right?
Started younger.
How young is young?
Like 14, 13.
So, 7th, 8th grade, somewhere around there?
Yeah. Like 7th, 8th grade.
And it was this stuff always around? You know, where you were growing up and
your
people?
Yeah, ever since I was little.
So you saw it like 1st grade, 2nd grade, cousins, uncles, whatever, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And before you tried it, you must have heard some stuff in school, elementary school. I know that they bring out the cop and the dog and stuff. Uh-huh. And they tell you it ain't good for you, right?
Yeah.
And they tell you, like, hey, don't
do that.
Yeah. So on the one hand, you're seeing that in school, I'm sure, and you're wearing red, you know, next week or whatever. And on the other hand, you're surrounded by people you know and love, I would bet, that are using. What's that like?
Well, right now, like, I don't have a lot of people on this side of the family because my parents are divorced.
Mm.
So I don't have a lot of people that consume right here where I live. But over there in Vegas, it's different.
Okay. So this is mostly, you grew up in Vegas?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is different, huh?
Yeah. It's a little different. But.
See, you're growing up in Vegas and they're saying no.
Yeah.
And some people are saying yes. People you're close to. And, you know, you see the lifestyle in Vegas. I don't know how close to the strip you were. But, you know, you see Lil Wayne driving by in a 54-window limo Hummer, cracked up on steroids, you know, whatever. And at some point, I guess, you decided to try to use, right?
Yes, sir.
What was that like? I mean, how did you eventually? Did you feel like a little guilt? Was it like, oh, it's my time?
I was scared to use that. But I don't know. I just got used to doing it.
Okay.
It turned into like an everyday thing.
Okay. What kind of stuff?
Just made me feel happy. I started using it when I was little, with the older friends and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Did they kind of recruit you in it, or it's kind of like, hey?
Something like that.
Yeah.
And I would just, at first I would just kick it with them, and then at the end I would be smoking.
Okay.
That's where it started.
Okay. Any drinking too, or just smoking?
Drinking was like later, like 9th grade, 8th grade, around there.
So not too much later?
Huh?
Not too much later. You said something that we should probably stop and touch on. And wait. By the way, 337-887-4 is the phone number if you guys want to call up and got any questions. We're talking to Dave and Nathan. It's September's recovery month, and Nathan has put two very cool things together. First of all, he's coming here to talk about recovery, which is cool, always cool. Secondly, he's 18 years old, and anytime you get an 18-year-old talking about recovery, you've got two great things that go great together because. You know, it's really good to talk about recovery when you're 18 instead of 36 or 54 or 72 or whatever the next multiple of 18 is. So Nathan's here and he's 18 and we're talking about recovery. I want to go back to something you said because you said it made you happy.
Yes, sir.
So... Oh, I'm Scott, by the way. If you want to call me Scott, of course. Sir, I'm not pulling you over. I'm not pulling you over at a traffic stop, so you don't have to call me sir. So it sounds like maybe there was a part of you, or maybe a lot of you, I don't know, that wasn't happy at that time.
Yeah.
What was that about?
Well, my parents got divorced when I was young, when I was like 6, and I had a lot of problems. Always wanted to live with my dad, and I couldn't. So I think that could lead to it.
So it even at that age, it really tore you up.
Yeah, it did.
Did it make it harder for you in school? And
yeah, I got held back when I was little, and I wouldn't even go to school when I lived in Vegas.
So that was some of that or a lot of that your pain.
Yes.
Yeah. And it didn't. It didn't get better over time, or it just kind of stayed there, or...
Well, yeah, well, like, it gets better, but it doesn't go away.
Okay. So for you now, at 18, you're able to kind of go back and say, you know, my parents getting divorced, and more importantly, me probably missing that time with my dad, and feeling that loss, made, like, this hole, you know?
Yeah.
And sounds like, at least initially, that hanging out with the guys and smoking filled that hole.
Yeah. It made me happy for a little bit.
Okay. Did it initially, when you started that, did it cause any problems?
Just wasting money.
Okay, and were you already not doing okay in school, or what?
Yeah, I was already doing bad in school, ever since I was little.
Okay, so it didn't make it worse, I mean, it was already...
Just stayed the same.
Okay, and this was then, and this was in Vegas.
Yeah.
I want to see what you guys are writing. They're passing notes in my class, I just want to point that out.
That's it. Like, I don't know how.
Where do you want to get to? I guess let's try and do that. Hey, okay, that's a good idea, Mario. Thank you. All right, happy hour. We're going to take a short break to talk about it. We'll be right back after this break.
You're listening to Let's Talk About It, presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. A 5 to 6 minute highlight podcast of the same show is available on KXOradio.com.
All right, welcome back. Let's Talk About It. I'm your host, Scott. Maria will be back next week. 327-8874 is the phone number. Always, you can catch the podcast on KXOradio.com. I encourage you to go over there and tag along and listen or point it out to people or share it with your friends. September is alcohol and drug recovery month, substance abuse recovery month. And interesting statistics, I was reading the National SAMHSA, which is the Substance Abuse Mental Health, 2009 statistics on substance use. And interesting in a couple of different respects. I think one of the interesting things is in a nation of 300 million people, 7 million have an illicit substance use problem. So, 7 out of 300, that's not too bad. Of course, if you're one of those 700, or they're your mom or dad, or, you know, living next door to you, it kind of makes it a different point. But it's we're doing pretty good as a nation, just in terms of that. And then the other interesting thing that kind of came out of that national report was, out of those 7 million people, 98% did not really seek treatment. Only a small percentage actually said they didn't and didn't really. 95% of the people, of those 7 million people, did not seek treatment. And when they were asked, like, well, you need all this, you know, basically when they look at who's got a problem with substances, they look at whose lives are being messed up by substance use, you know, is it messed up family, is it messed up job, is it, you know, messed up school, you know, what's getting messed up, and if something's getting messed up because of substance use, then they say, hey, well, you know, you got a problem. And they go to these people and say, well, hey, person who's already identified that you've got a problem, and you've actually told us that you it's cost you your job, or it's cost you your, you know, relationship, or whatever, how about treatment? And 95% of the people said, treatment. I don't need treatment. Treatment? What for? And I think that that's an interesting statistic, because kind of what it's saying is that in some respects, people are the perceived benefits of using are still outweighing the costs, even those big costs at this point, because jobs and family and, you know, those are big costs. Freedom, incarceration. Those are big costs. And yet, the substance or substances somehow have got these people still convinced that it's better for them to use than to seek help. Which makes recovery stories that much more compelling, perhaps, because if we look at how people figure out in their heads that it ain't working, and begin to take some power over that and talk back to the substance that says, hey, hang out, sit around all day, hang out with me, we can watch TV, you know, and eat Twinkies, or, you know, whatever, then those are the stories that maybe are helping those other 95% of the people to say, hey, wait a minute, maybe my life isn't all it could be. Maybe I'm misplacing some energy here. Not like you're going to get, like, a lot of other lives. You know, pretty much this is it. And, you know, and you're only 18 months, right? Which I'm sure all, and we're all nodding like, oh, thank goodness. Once was enough. Thank you. All right, so welcome back. Nathan is here today, 337-8874. Nathan's 18 years old, going to high school. And joining us here on the show. Nathan, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome back. Got your feet wet?
No.
Ready to go?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go. So you grew up in Vegas, and your parents got divorced. Let's kind of recap here. And when you were six, and for you anyway, you can pretty much share that what that pain was like. And it stopped, you stopped going to school.
Well, I was always enrolled, but I just wouldn't go.
Would you claim sick, or how did that work?
Well,
just refuse to go?
Mom didn't care, so. stay home.
Mm. Was your mom struggling?
Not really. She just didn't really care.
She didn't really care.
Yeah.
Like, okay, stay home if you want to. Stay home and here's a list of chores that you can do. No?
Nah. Yeah. Well, they would give me chores, but wouldn't do them.
Oh, okay. Okay. So she couldn't make you.
Yeah.
Basically. And she probably stops trying after a while because it's not fun to try things that don't work.
I know.
Okay. Okay. So, in some respect, you were pretty strong.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you were using your strength in a way that wasn't really helping. Because it wasn't, you know, you weren't getting the education and stuff that you needed. Stuff like that.
I was just missing.
Yeah. But you got to be pretty smart to do that.
Miss school?
Well, to get out of school, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. To play your parents, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
And that takes talent.
Just got to know what to say.
Oh, okay. Have you changed kind of your perspective on that? Now that you're 18, are you using that just got to know what to say to answer questions at school?
No, I changed.
Are you using it to get good grades now?
Trying.
Yeah? How's that going for you?
Well, I had good grades.
Like,
no, I just had one S.
Okay. Okay. Any A's?
Hmm. Yeah. I have two A's.
Is when you're in Vegas and even I suppose when you came here, were you able to do much besides just use, or was that pretty much your whole life
here in Central?
Yeah,
or in Vegas,
wherever the use was worse, I guess.
Well, yeah, I used to do other things, but now it's just harder now that I'm older.
So did you have like hobbies and stuff?
Yeah.
So you like
used to ride quads and.
Oh, okay, okay.
All kinds of stuff.
Okay.
Like playing tennis.
Okay. Everything but school.
Yeah. Everything but school.
Okay. How'd you end up in El Central?
Well, my family like grew up in Mex, so we would always come every once in a while. And then, well, my dad lives here. Like, my dad moved from Vegas and moved over here. So I just moved over here right there with him. And he got custody.
Was that was important to you?
Yeah, that was pretty important to me.
Okay. You come down here. How old were you when you moved here?
I moved here when I was like, I think I was in 7th grade or 6th grade. I was about 13.
She's been here a while.
Yeah, well, I've always been here. Like, I would come and visit.
And visit.
Yeah, so I knew people from here.
Okay.
But I didn't live here.
Okay. But you a lot of your youth has been here.
Yeah, here and, yeah. Basically here.
Well, it's kind of interesting because you go back and you say, well, you know, the divorce caused some pain, and one of the ways I coped with the pain was when I got older was smoking.
Yes.
And then later drinking and you know, maybe some other stuff. What's interesting is that the source of the pain, I mean, basically being separated from your dad, that had already gone away, but the pain was still there somehow. Because you ended up with your dad, right?
Yeah, I live here with my dad right now.
But somehow, you know, when you were 13 in El Central, it still wasn't ready to go away, the pain.
No, I don't think it ever goes away.
Hard. So,
a while.
So trying to smoke it away didn't work?
Nah, doesn't work.
Okay. Did it cause any other problems in your life, using?
Somehow. Somehow it did. Yeah, it does.
What about money? Is that a problem?
Yeah, it's a waste of money. But you gotta do what you gotta do. I waste my money on it, but I have nothing else to spend it on. There's not a lot of stuff that you can do here in El Central.
Coming from a place like Vegas where there is
a
lot of stuff to do.
Yeah.
What's that like, you know, being a young man and being in a place like this compared to a place like Vegas? Is that something you have to kind of cope with?
Oh, yeah, and then it's all hot here, so it's not like you can go outside and play or go outside and be with your friends.
So nobody wants to, like, hey, let's go outside and play tennis. It's 120 degrees outside. Mm-hmm. Although, you know, it gets warmer in Vegas, too, but in Vegas, you get indoor stuff.
You don't have humidity.
Yeah.
It's not all humid.
Yeah. Yeah. So you go to these classes. You sign up. You sign up for your A&D classes.
Yes.
What was it like walking in the door there?
I didn't know what to expect, what I was going to learn or anything.
Were you pretty much like, well, I don't care what they say, I'm just going to hang out and do what I got to do? Or was there a part of you that really wanted to hear
and think about it? I wanted to be in there.
Mm. And what was your impression? What kind of stuff did you hear? What kind of stuff did you... Did anything like stick to you?
To teach us what drugs do to you.
Yeah.
Try to teach you how to get over them.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Anything surprising about that stuff?
All of it. Seems all easy, but it's not that easy.
So you thought it really wasn't like, I don't know, like a big deal?
Yeah, I thought it was something for real to me, you know, but...
Yeah. So it was a part of your life, an important part of your life, maybe.
Yeah.
But you didn't think it was going to maybe be harmful or maybe cause damage long term or something?
No.
And what do you think now?
What do I think right now?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm glad I joined.
Do you think that you could still probably get by and keep using and it would be okay?
Like, to keep doing it?
Yeah.
Well, I think I could do it, but...
You could do it.
I choose not to.
And what's behind that choice?
Just a waste of time. Okay. Could be doing something else.
Okay. So you're here, you're 18, in the valley, hurting because you ain't got nothing to do. It's hot, summertime. Now, it's nice outside today, so is that like a cause for, I mean, are you like, maybe this is a, you know,
yeah.
Finally get out and enjoy something?
Maybe. Hopefully. Hopefully it'll stay like this.
How do you put it together in a way that begins to work for you? You know, in terms of school, in terms of maybe, I don't know, are you going to spend your life here in the valley, or do you want to get up and go somewhere bigger and better?
Well, I kind of want to stay here, but there's not a lot of opportunities here. So, I don't know. Maybe in the future I'll leave, but right now I'm going to stay.
Okay, so right now, what becomes important?
School, just finishing school, getting a high school diploma. It's the only thing I'm worrying about right now.
How close is that?
Well, right now, I still need some credits. I think like 60 or something. But I'm close.
So like a school year? Half a year?
Yeah. School year, probably. Still got to pass a test. Safety.
Okay. And what about being 18? Does that make it easier to get jobs and stuff?
Well, supposedly, but there's no jobs here.
Do you look?
They put a hiring sign and like 300 people put in the application.
Mm. You're experiencing firsthand what it's like to...
Yeah. It's not that easy.
What about drug testing? If you get a job, don't they drug test you?
I don't know. I think so. Sure.
I don't know. It's been a long time. Probably some jobs. Would when you have reasons for using and reasons for not using, what are your reasons for not using right now?
For not using?
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, I just choose not to.
Choose not
to? Try not to, because I know it's not doing anything good for me, so.
Well, you mentioned it's a waste of time.
Yeah. So I just try to stay away.
Waste of money?
Mm-hmm. Waste of time, waste of money.
Are you concerned about any legal problems or anything? Would that slow you down or no?
Legal problems?
Yeah, like...
Well, of course you can get in trouble.
Yeah, exactly.
But just try to stay away from that. Try not to get caught.
What would still be... Okay, so you've been in these classes now.
Mm-hmm.
Do you still have reasons for maybe using?
Reasons for using?
Yeah.
You just can't sleep. Can't sleep at night.
What's that like?
Don't sleep comfortable. Sucks.
Is it pain or is it just restlessness or?
Just wake up in the morning. Just I don't know. I don't sleep that comfortable.
Mm.
Sleep better when I'm under the influence.
So it helps you sleep from your experience.
Yeah, it helps me sleep.
Okay. How do you balance that? I guess is being drug free important enough for you to figure out other ways of sleeping, or is it something at this point you're just still trying to figure out?
I'm sure if I stay sober for long enough, I just sleep normal. But
do you think it's something eventually your body just get used to, huh?
Yeah, because my system's still used to having that substance in it. So it's hard right now.
Is it something that you basically try and cut back on, or is it something that you go as long as you can without using? And
yeah, well, I cut back a lot. I'll still do it, but don't do it as much now.
Okay. Okay, what do your parents think? And you're 18.
Pennsylvania, no.
No?
I never got caught. My mom knows, but mom doesn't care. She doesn't tell my dad. My dad doesn't know.
How did you were using pretty regularly for a while, huh?
Yeah.
Like, every day, all the time? Regularly, or?
Every day.
Okay. Like, get up in the morning and eat on the way to school, or?
Well, last year, not anymore.
Okay, but there was a time.
Yeah.
How did you have to hide that from your parents, or was that something, you know?
No, it's easy. It's not hard.
So from your point of view as a kid, somebody who was using a lot and using regularly, it wasn't really hard to hide from your parents.
Nope. Not that hard. It's pretty simple, actually.
So they couldn't tell if you were high?
Eye drops.
They didn't know or weren't noticing maybe who you were hanging out with or hours you were keeping, or was that not part of the problem?
No, it wasn't part of the problem.
Okay. What about the money?
Money comes and goes.
So, were they just like, hey, Dad, can I have $20?
No, I know you get money somewhere, I don't know.
So you were hustling.
A way to make
so
money.
You were basically hustling for the money and doing what you had to do to get ends meet, huh?
Yeah.
Is there some risk in that?
A little bit. Somehow.
Here's a question. So now you're 18. Anything that you do that was criminal is now like adult criminal as opposed to kid criminal. Does that make a difference?
Oh, yeah. Make sure you change your thoughts.
So now you change. So now you put that on the scales too, and it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Like before, you know, you're underage, you don't care.
Yeah.
Now you get that much trouble. But now it's different. You get arrested now.
Yeah, that's true. Well, and then, you know, every job application for the rest of your life has that one special question, huh?
Yeah.
Have you ever been convicted of any offense greater than a traffic case or something like that?
Yeah, where it asks you.
Yeah. And then, of course, they go back and run your record, so it's not like you can just answer whatever you want.
No, it stays on your record for life.
Yeah. So, but it wasn't hard. I mean, I don't know. What about grades? I mean, you get a report card, your report card's bad. Isn't, like, mom and dad going, like, hey, wait a minute. Son, we know you're smart.
No, well, my parents, like, they don't even check. They'll tell me something, but just like every once in a while, I'd be like, raise your grades.
Hey, do better in school.
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
But that's about it.
Okay. How much of that was substances, and how much of that was just not being interested in it in school?
In school?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've always been, like, lazy for school. Just attendance. That's what always gets me. Like, doing the work and stuff, it's not that hard. But just attendance.
Sitting there all day, huh?
Yeah, I don't like waking up and getting dressed to go to school.
Is that sleep too, or no?
Yeah, I get sleepy. Wake up sleepy.
So the sleeping thing, how long has that been going on?
Sleeping?
Yeah. A
couple of years.
Yeah. So it wasn't a problem originally?
No.
I mean, back when you were 6 or 8 or...
Yeah.
But you still didn't like going to school?
Nope. I like going to school. You have to do it. not going to be anybody.
So what kind of role do you do in the group? Do you just kind of sit there and sit in the back and get your arms crossed and cup in the lean? And, I mean, what kind of stuff goes on in those groups?
Sit in the back. Oh, you always try to sit in the back sometimes.
The back's all full.
It's not the movie.
It's like the first kids that come in. Hey, let's get the back. It's a cool place to sit. Do you see real life in that room? I mean, this stuff come out, and it's pretty serious stuff, and it's stuff that's safe to talk about there. And
in the classroom or
in the group? In the group.
Alcohol?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We're all friends in there. Yeah. Everyone knows each other, so transfer's not that big.
Does it help to have that kind of support? I mean, are you guys kind of all, like, helping each other out to stay out of problems and stuff?
Mm-hmm. We are. We all talk to each other. Just tell each other stories and stuff.
In the group room or, like, outside the group room? Stuff? Do you guys hang out as friends afterwards or no?
Yeah. Most of us are friends.
And that becomes a group that, ideally it's like committed to, you know,
mm-hmm.
getting back in regular school or doing whatever, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Nice. So if you were talking to parents, because I've got one listening.
My parent?
I'm a parent. Any parent. What would you tell them about kids, and what would you tell them about substances, and what would you tell them about helping their kids? I mean,
to help their kids?
Yeah.
Yeah. What I tell them to do?
Yeah.
Just be checking them, make sure they're not doing anything bad.
How would you really check?
How would you check?
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of noticeable. Like, if you don't notice.
So what should you keep your eyes open for? What should you...
Red eyes.
So, red eyes. You get kids coming home with red eyes.
Yeah. Red eyes, just the way they act. I think if someone the kids can consume, he stays away from everybody.
So,
in his own little world.
So, a little avoidance. Like so if you come home and basically go, nah, it's cool, I'm not hungry, and go straight to your room.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure I'll be hungry.
So, you grab the food and then go to your room.
Yeah.
That's like a sign.
Watch TV.
Yeah, TV kind of takes off the pressure, doesn't it? Because people don't have to look at everybody.
And you entertain yourself.
Yeah. You think it's important? Do you think it's important for parents to kind of keep their kids from going on this path? Or?
Yeah. I think they should try to have their kids avoid it. It's nothing good.
What kind of stuff does it, you know, because of the way you've grown up, because of some of the choices you've made, or, you know, what kind of consequences do you have now?
Consequences?
Yeah.
Just school.
So you've got Desert Oasis.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got sent there.
For not attending, right?
Yeah, for attending, and I had bad grades at some place.
Okay. So that's one consequence.
Mm-hmm.
And you're 18 and 60 credits short. That's consequence.
Mm-hmm. Waste of time.
And kids are still in school and you don't got a diploma. It's hard to get a job, even if you wanted to get, like, a part-time job after school or something, huh?
Yeah.
So that's consequence. And that stuff adds up.
Mm-hmm.
So if we'd have been able to keep you in school.
Keep you in school?
Yeah. And if we, you know, like when you were 7 and said, I don't want to go to school. And we'd have been able to somehow kind of magically go back and march your little behind into school and sit you down. And then... If you'd still chosen to experiment or use when you're like 13 or whatever, and we'd have been able to kind of catch you at the door and check out your eyes before you figured out the eye drop trick or find your eye drops, huh? Because you got to carry it somewhere. We might not be having this conversation.
Probably not.
I mean, you might be... You know,
Harvard.
Well, and nice, huh? You might be Harvard, huh?
Yeah.
Would you be all East Coast, though? Or would,
huh?
Would you be all East Coast? I mean, Harvard's like Boston.
Nah, I'm just saying. Probably going to IBC.
Yeah, you might be going to IBC.
Yeah.
You might be going. And you might, you know, even really be going to some other school at the West Coast or something like that. I mean.
Yeah. Maybe.
UCLA ain't all that. Or something like that.
But what can I do?
No, I don't know. What do you do? What do you, yeah, what are you doing today?
What am I going to do today?
Yeah.
Go home. Just chill.
Do you get homework at Desert Oasis or no?
Nah. There's no homework. Get off at 12:30. That's about it.
Just getting credits. Have you found anything that interests you enough that you think you might want to pursue it, or do it, or be it, or learn about it? Or?
I want to be a chef.
Yeah?
Yeah. I like cooking and stuff.
Yeah? Does the family, like, count on you? Does it, like, say, hey?
Well, yeah, my dad has a restaurant.
Really?
Yeah. Has a restaurant.
Time you hit him up for a job, isn't it?
No. Can't work for my dad.
I can wash dishes. Honest. I'm good at it. Did your dad do some of the cooking now?
No, not really. Just sits there.
But you know how to do the cooking?
A little bit of it. Trying to learn.
Nice. Well, Nathan, thanks for coming aboard today. How was it for you?
Good.
A little weird, huh?
A little bit. Kind of nervous. I didn't know what to expect. I'd be on the radio.
Actually, we've got you hooked up to the PA system over at Desert Oasis. So.
Yeah?
No. Your eyes got big, right? I didn't see your eyes get that big. No, of course not. But you know, I want to thank you, because it isn't easy to come on the radio. And it isn't easy to even to be a kid and talk about who you are and what you've committed to.
Mm-hmm.
And some of that stuff includes sharing some of the choices that maybe you regret. And some of that, you know, includes even being honest about who you are right now. Because, you know, it'd be nice to come in here and say, I'm a perfect person doing what the world wants me to do. Thank you very much. But you came in anyway. And you said what you had to say. And you were honest with us and shared with us, you know, what your life was like. And I think for parents, I think you got some important messages out there. And I think, you know, not like a lot of 14-year-olds are going to listen to our show.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's a 14-year-old listening to our show, that might be an important thing for them to hear, too. And without you coming aboard and without you saying that stuff, it doesn't get said. You know, it doesn't get into anybody else's world. And so, from that angle, really appreciate you coming on. And I don't know if there's anything you want to close with or talk about. You want to? Me? I'm here yet. All right. Nathan's going to bust this up. Okay, he's going to...
Just read it a little.
Yeah.
All right. Just say that's a poem. Say it was by. All right. It's a poem by... Paula Gutierrez, my teacher, my girl's an alcohol teacher. I says I can't, but you can. I can't say I know what it is to be you. I can't say I've seen all that you have been through. I can't tell you why life has been so unfair. I can't say don't cry, because I've never been there. I can't stop the pain so raw and so real. I can't do any miracles and make your wounds heal. I can't do a lot of things I wish I could do. But I can say, don't quit, because there's a fighter in you. I can say I know you, the person inside. I can't say it's an honor that from me you don't hide. I can say you trust me with your innermost thoughts. I can say I see it when your stomach is in knots. I can say the pain you carry all through the day will one day diminish, completely go away. I know you can't imagine anything other than what you know, but believe me when I say you have so much room to grow. Your life will get better, but you have to do your part. Put down all the ugliness and open up your heart. Open up your mind and look deep within your soul. The sky is the limit. Now set yourself a goal. Break yourself free of the chains by which you are bound. Tell yourself each day, I was lost, but now I'm found. You didn't have a choice to which life you have been born, but you do have the power to repair all what is torn. Your life is your life. Do to what with as you please. But as you already know, some choices bring you to your knees. You can't change the past no matter how hard you try. You have to stop asking yourself, why me, why? You can't turn to things that promise to change what you feel. You can't keep telling yourself that none of this is real. It is time to move forward and make choices of your own. It's time to see life and use that strength that you have shown. Many wounds are still fresh. They have not had time to heal. And I know it's uncomfortable, the pain they make you feel. But believe in yourself and the strength you have within. Start your life and know that you will win. I know you can do it. I believe with all my heart. From your old life, you will learn and then break apart. Do not let history repeat itself. Yourself, break that crazy cycle and go find yourself. Be that one person you know you can be. Go make your mark in this world. Make yourself happy. Thank you for allowing me to have learned so much from you. Now go forth, my friend, and do what you have to do.
Nice. September is recovery month. And if you or someone you know wants to hop aboard, like Nathan hops aboard, just call 482-4000 and they'll connect you to the right place. And you know, it doesn't have to be just substance use recovery. It could be mental health stuff, too, or even either or both. We treat all flavors. And thank you for coming aboard, Nathan. Really appreciate it.
Welcome.
Thank you, St. Paula, here for bringing you and hooking that up. And best wishes, man. Have a great life. Hope we run into you. Or hope you're in a big city somewhere doing great and taking care of yourself and doing what you got to do. All right.
Thank you.
Right. This is Let's Talk About It, sponsored by Imperial County Behavioral Health. Thank you for listening today. We'll be back next week with another great show. Remember, this is hitting the podcast. So if you want to grab this and share it with somebody, that's where you can grab it. Grab it at kxlradio.com. Thank you very much. Have a great week.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It. Heard each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KUBO 88.7 FM, Radio Bilingue. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by kxlradio.com.